الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue our lectures from the seminar entitled مجالس الآخرة قراءات في سير أعلام النبلاء The gatherings of the hereafter readings in the biographies of the eminent and noble scholars, the people of knowledge. Before we open the book and we begin reading, I would like to present an important reminder. The people of knowledge, they mention with regards to reading and the likes of these works, reading in the books of history and reading in the biographies of the pious and the righteous predecessors and those who have proceeded from the generations. And that is to know with certainty that the only man who was followed absolutely and everything he says and everything he does is the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the only one who is infallible with regards to understanding the religion of Allah azza wa jal, the only one who is ma'asum and has the isma from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the affairs of the deen, is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no one shares with him in that, and everyone besides him, from the best of them until this day, they are exposed to errors and to mistakes, and the scale to clarify and to verify what is correct from the statements and from the speech and the actions of mankind is to weigh that in the scale with that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he has said, and with his manners and his conduct and with his way, and that which has been reported authentically from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that which is in accordance to his sunnah and his way, from creed and speech and deed, then it is good and is the truth. And what is contrary to that, then it is falsehood and it is not correct. And what is in opposition to that, then it is falsehood and it is not correct. If this proceeded from a well-known scholar and person of the sunnah, then the people of knowledge, they will excuse him. And they will mention that he had an ijtihad in this particular issue. And they'll make a number of excuses for him if he's known to be from the people of knowledge, known to be from the people of goodness and virtue, but they will not follow him in his mistake. So this is very important to understand when reading in the likes of these biographies, because sometimes there will be narrations that are contrary to what has come from the sunnah. And some of them are authentic and truthful about that individual, and others they are lies. Also from the important affairs, the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to readings in the reading in the books of history and in the biographies of those who have preceded, is that a person, he has to have principles and he has to have foundations before he proceeds upon this way. He has to have foundations and fundamentals, specifically with regards to creed. He has to have a strong creed and know the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah with regards to his belief and his creed. And also it's incumbent for him to have knowledge of hadith in order to verify that which is mentioned and the likes like this. So one would not just proceed upon reading in these books without having any principles or having any knowledge, because one could misunderstand and be misled and be misguided. Because whenever we read in the history of Islam, we will find that many fitan have occurred after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beginning with the time of the companions, and there were fitan that occurred between the companions. And this is an affair of creed. And Ahl Sunnah, they do not say anything except for good about the companions. And that which occurred between them, they're silent about that. And this is from the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And in their heart, they have nothing but love for the companions, all of them. All of them, every last one of them. In their hearts, they have nothing but love for them. And on their tongues, they say nothing but good about all of them. رضي الله عنهم والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. So this is the case, yani, with regards to the creed. So a believer, he has to have usul and principles. And likewise, he has to know that the role model is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if he reads, for example, in some biographies that this particular individual, he used to fast every day. He used to fast every day and never break his fast. If he was from the known people of knowledge and from the Salaf, and he was known to be upright, then we will make an excuse for him and we will say that the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beloved. We'll say this is his ijtihad and his effort that he made. But what has reached us is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the best fasting for the one who wanted to fast in this manner is the fast of Dawood alayhi salam, to fast one day and to break a fast another day. To fast one day and to break another fast and to break the fast another day. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited from wisal, and he to fast all day and all night and continue the next day without ever breaking the fast. He prohibited this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, man arada an yuwasil falyuwasil ila sahar, that whoever wanted to continue fasting, let him fast all the way to sahar. But at that time, he should take his sahar, he should take his suhoor. So maybe we would read in some of the biographies of the scholars of hadith that one of them would fast straight, continuously, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks and the likes like this. And some may read that and find this to be an amazing affair. And if it's true on him, no doubt it's an amazing affair, but more amazing than that is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to fast and he used to break his fast. And he used to pray at nighttime and he used to sleep. And he used to marry women sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to eat meat. And this is what he mentioned. Yani, whenever he heard the people striving diligently, yani, to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla and not abiding by his sunnah. And he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, he's not from me. So again, yani, to have these usul and to know that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the scale and he is the uswa hasana. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That verily, in the Messenger of Allah, you have the best role model. You have the best role model for those who believe in Allah and they hope for the hereafter. And they hope for the hereafter. This issue here has been narrated from the Salaf. From them, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He's from Atba' Tabi'in. He died in the year 198. He's from the best of the scholars of hadith in his era. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he mentioned about this affair. He said, "Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam huwa al-mizan al-akbar, fa'alayhi tu'radu al-ashya' ala khuluqihi wa siratihi wa hadyihi, fama wafaqaha fahuwa al-haq, wama khalafaha fahuwa al-batil." He mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the greatest scale. He is the greatest scale that all things are presented to and weighed upon. So that, any, with regards to his manners, with regards to his biography and his way, with regards to his manner, his conduct and his guidance. So whatever is in accordance with that, then it's the truth. And whatever is contrary to that, then it is falsehood. Like this, likewise, later generations have come from the people of the Sunnah. And from the beautiful affair of the people of the Sunnah is that no matter what land they are from and no matter what era they lived in, their statement with regards to creed and methodology is one. Their statement with regards to creed and methodology is one. If you read the work of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in creed and methodology, and then you read after him 100 or 200 or 300 years, Ibn Battah, and after him, the likes of Ibn Taymiyyah, and the likes like this until this day, the works of Shaykh al-Fawzan, those who are alive, from the scholars of the Sunnah, you will find as if you're reading the statements that have been written by one pen and have come from one heart. And this is because they are united upon the truth. And this is because they are united upon the truth. And this is what the statement means, Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. The Sunnah, it unites them. And they are united upon the truth. So like this, yani, similar statement, like Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he mentioned, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 751. Hundreds of years later, he mentioned about the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah, he is the one who has made it obligatory upon all of the creation to believe in the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to follow him and to obey him. So the meaning of that is that the obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is obedience to Allah. And likewise, Allah has made it obligatory upon all of the creation to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And loving the Messenger is loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one shares with him in this level. He has the highest status and rank amongst mankind, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he is to be obeyed absolutely. And he is to be obeyed absolutely. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ. And obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Ibn Qayyim, he says, فَهُوَ الْمِيزَانُ الرَّاجِحُ الَّذِي عَلَى أَخْلَاقِهِ وَأَقْوَالِهِ وَأَعْمَالِهِ تُوزَنُ الْأَخْلَاقُ وَالْأَقْوَالُ وَالْأَعْمَالُ وَالْفُرْقَانُ الْمُبِينُ الَّذِي بِاتِّبَاعِهِ تَمَيَّزَ أَهْلُ الْهُدَى مِنْ أَهْلِ الضَّلَالِ. He mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, huwa al-mizan al-rajih, he is the superior scale. He is the superior scale, and he's the greatest scale. Alladhi ala akhlaqihi wa aqwalihi wa a'malihi tuzanu al-akhlaqu wal-aqwalu wal-a'mal. He is the superior scale, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which according to his manners and his statements and his deeds, the manners and the statements are deeds are weighed, and deeds are weighed. The manners and the statements and the deeds are weighed. So if a person wanted to know if his manners are good, then let him check himself with the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he wanted to know if his statements are good, or his actions are good, or if his creed and his belief is good, then let him check himself and review his situation according to that which has been authentically reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَالْفُرْقَانِ الْمُبِينِ أَلَّذِي بِتِبَعِهِ تَمَيَّزَ أَهْلُ الْهُدَىٰ wa ahlu dhalal, that he is the clear criterion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the clear criterion that by following him clarifies who is from the people of guidance and who is from the people of misguidance. So with this point being made, yani that no matter what one reads in the biographies of the Salaf, or even from that which we see today, that a person, he weighs the people, their statements and their actions with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no one would give preference to anyone over the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over his statement and over his deed and that which has come from him. This takes precedence for every believer, and following and loving and preferring that, no matter how noble or honorable anyone may be after him, he is not the Messenger of Allah. And a believer, he says, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the meaning of that statement, لَا مَتْبُوعَ حَقٌّ إِلَّا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that no one is followed in truth, meaning absolutely, and everything they say and do, except for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His path and his way is the path to paradise. And all other paths, they're blocked and they're closed. And there's no way to the pleasure of Allah and to his Jannah except by following the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So reading in the biographies of the Salaf is beneficial to take heed and admonition, and to see what they were upon from righteousness and piety, and from goodness and from sincerity, and from striving to be obedient, and from seeking knowledge, and how they were diligent to strive against their souls and their lives like this. But ultimately, the one who is followed absolutely, only the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we began reading in volume number 8. This particular work right here is 30 volumes. It's 30 volumes. Sir Alam al-Nubala. We have volume number 8. And the tarjama, or the biography that we read from, is the biography of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Al-Dhahabi, he mentions about him that his narrations, first and foremost, they're in Al-Bukhari and in Muslim, and in Sunan Abi Dawood, and Sunan al-Nasa'i, and likewise Jami' Tirmidhi. And all of these scholars of hadith have narrated this man's narrations in these works, from the greatest of the books of the Sunnah, rather all of the Kutub al-Sitta except for one. Who was that? Ibn Majah. So his narrations are found in Bukhari and in Muslim. And if you open Bukhari, you will find the narrations of Fudayl ibn Iyadh. And he'll be from those narrators in those chains. And likewise, in Sunan Abi Dawood, and also in Nasa'i with Tirmidhi. So this is five from the Kutub al-Sitta. And the sixth one is Ibn Majah. So his name is Al-Fudayl ibn Iyadh. The author, rahimahullah, he'll mention a long chain of his lineage. And we suffice with that, which is short. And then after this, he says, Al-Imamu Al-Qudwa. Al-Imamu Al-Qudwa Al-Thabt, Shaykh al-Islam, Abu Ali. Shaykh al-Islam, Abu Ali. Rahimahullah ta'ala. That he is Al-Fudayl ibn Iyadh, and he is Al-Imam. Al-Imam, meaning he's a leader in the deen. And Al-Qudwa, a role model in piety and righteousness. Al-Thabt, meaning he's strong and he's firm in narration. Shaykh al-Islam. Shaykh al-Islam, the scholar of al-Islam, Abu Ali. This is his kunya. He has a son, rahimahullah, named Ali. At-Tamimi al-Yarbu'i al-Khurasani, al-Mujawir bi-Haramillah. And that he is from Khurasan, rahimahullah ta'ala, but he had left his land and vowed to stay in Mecca and to live there until he died. And this is what he did. Al-Dhahabi, he mentioned about him, wulida bi Samarqand, wa nasha'a bi Abi Ward, wartahala fi talib al-ilm. That he was born in Samarqand, and he grew up and he was raised in a land called Abi Ward, and he traveled to seek knowledge, rahimahullah ta'ala. And that fakatab al-Kufa an Mansur wal Amash. And from the methodology of Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala in this work is he will, after mentioning a brief information about the person's name and about his lineage and then some issues about him briefly, after that he will mention those whom he learned from and those who learned from him. And he will mention the names in alphabetical order most of the time. And we will not read all of the mashayikh that each one had, nor all of their students, but just to have knowledge about the individual, we will read from the best of them. So from the teachers and from the mashayikh that Fudayl ibn Iyadh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he learned from Mansur, and ibn al-Mu'tamir, and also al-A'mash, and also Hussein ibn Abdurrahman. These are all from the Tabi'een. Hussein ibn Abdurrahman, he is the narrator that we had studied in Kitab al-Tawheed, the one who narrated on Sa'id ibn Jubayr. And he said, Ayyukum ra'a al-kawkab in qadda al-bariha, the narration in Kitab al-Tawheed. Whenever Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he asked, which one of you saw the star that fell last night? And until the end of the narration, about the 70,000 who entered paradise without any reckoning. And those who know Kitab al-Tawheed, they're familiar with this narration. This is one of the mashayikh of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyadh, rahimahullah ta'ala. Likewise, Layth, and Layth ibn Sa'd, and likewise Safwan ibn Sulaym, and from his mashayikh. What's mentioned about him in this work is that it said, لو قيل له غدا القيامة ما كان له مزيد من العمل على ما هو عليه. And it's mentioned about him in his biography, this one teacher of Al-Fudayl. His name is Safwan ibn Sulaym. If it was said to him, tomorrow is the resurrection, he would not be able to increase in worship that he is upon. And this has been mentioned about a number of the Salaf in their biographies from them. Safwan ibn Sulaym, he mentioned, and it's mentioned about him, if somebody came to him and told him, tomorrow is the resurrection, he would not be able to increase. He will not be able to do more from the worship that he's already upon and from the obedience that he's already upon. So this is from the teachers of Fudayl ibn Iyadh, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned a number of them. And then also he mentioned those who learned from him. And from the best of them, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, and likewise Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, and Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, and Ibn Uyayna, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, the one who we read his statement about the scale and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is from those who learned from him. And likewise, al-Imam al-Shafi'i and Ahmed ibn Yunus and Abdullah ibn Wahab. And other than them, from the scholars of hadith. So he's well known with the people of knowledge, yani from learning and likewise from teaching. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was busy with this affair. He was busy with this affair. Al-Dhahabi, he mentioned about Al-Fudayl ibn Iyadh, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, and Al-Fadl ibn Musa, and it's narrated, قَالَ كَانَ فُضَيْلْ بِنْ إِيَالْ شَاطِرًا يَقْطَعُ الطَّرِيقَ بَيْنَ أَبِي وَرْدْ وَسَرْخَسْ. And he has mentioned in his biography here that Al-Fudayl, he used to be a thief. He used to be a thief, and he used to lie on the path and rob the people. He used to lie on the path and wait for them and rob the people. رَحِمَهُ ta'ala. وَكَانَ سَبَبُ تَوْبَتِهِ أَنَّهُ عَشِقَ جَارِيَةً فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ يَرْتَقِي الْجِدْرَانِ إليها إذا سمعوا تاريا يتلو ألم يأني للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم فلما سمعها قال بلى يا ربي قال بلى يا ربي قد آن. And it's mentioned about him that he used to be a thief and he used to be a bandit. He used to lie on the path and wait for the people to come by and rob them. And the reason for his repentance is that he had a woman that he was chasing after. And one time he was climbing on the roofs and climbing over the houses to go to her house. And he heard someone in their prayer reciting the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, the meaning of the verses, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Has the time not come for those who believe, for their hearts to be humble and submissive to that which they have heard from the truth and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal and the revelation of the truth. Whenever he is in this, yani, this act here, going to this woman, he heard this recitation and he heard these words and he said, of course, O my Lord, of course, verily it is time. And he responded to this. And meaning these words, they affected him. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. So it's mentioned about him that he spent the rest of the night and he went to an abandoned home and he was waiting there and he heard some people who were traveling on the road and some of them they said to each other, let's go. And others, they said, no, let's wait until the morning time. Maybe Fudayl is out there. And so he is in his state of repentance and he takes shelter in an abandoned home in this manner, in an area that is worn down and tore down. And then whenever he's there, he hears the people speaking like this, let's go, let's finish our journey. And then some of them say, no, let's wait. Maybe Fudayl is on the path. And we don't want him to rob us or to get us. So at this time, he realized, he said to himself, Subhanallah, here I am, and he, in this manner, and he going through the place, robbing the Muslims and engulfed in sin, and the Muslims, they themselves are afraid of me and the likes. So he repented and he thought about this affair and he sincerely repented to Allah Azza wa Jal and announced that he would leave his land. He would leave his land and he would go to Mecca and he would reside there. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this is what has been mentioned about his biography, yani how he repented, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Some way through the biography, Al-Dhahabi, he mentioned this narration again. And here in the beginning, he doesn't mention anything about this. And from his methodology, rahimahullah, is that he will comment many times on the narrations and on the affairs that he mentions in his book. He will mention beneficial commentary. In the beginning of this work, he didn't mention anything. But if you read more than halfway through the biography, he will mention the narration again with the chain. And after that, he mentions that there's some weakness in the chain here. And the chain to Fudayl about this repentance. But he says, وَبِكُلِّ حَالٍ فَالشِّرْكُ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ قَطِ الطَّرِيقِ وَقَدْ تَابَ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ خَلْقٌ صَارُوا أَفْضَلَ الْأُمَّةِ. He said, in any case, whether this story is true about him, or whether it is not true about him, the details of his repentance, whether all of this is true or not, verily shirk is even greater than that. Shirk is even greater than robbing the people and being a highway bandit. And individuals have repented from shirk, a number of them, and they became the best of the creation and the best of the ummah. And they became the best of the creation and the best of the ummah. So he says, فَالنَّوَاصِي الْعِبَادْ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the heads, the forelocks of the slaves, they're in the hands of Allah. They're in the hands of Allah. وَهُوَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابُ. And Allah, he misleads whomever he wills, and he guides to him those who repent and seek a path to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the end of the statement of al-Dhahabi. And verily, he's true. And you read that this story is true about al-Fudayl or not, and it is a very famous story, and mentioned about him in his biography. And the people who are aware of him and his biography, they know this story. But whether it's authentic or not, yani, whoever repents to Allah Azza wa Jal, whoever is sincere in their repentance, no matter what they were doing, if they are robbing the Muslims or lying to the Muslims or cheating the Muslims, or even if they were in shirk, waliyadu billah, and calling on graves and others besides Allah, and which is the worst of all affairs, if they sincerely repented before their death, they will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most forgiving and the most merciful. Here at Dhahabi, he mentions that the forelocks of the people are in the hands of Allah, meaning Allah, he guides the hearts alone and no one else. This is from his lordship, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, he guides whom he wills. And if he guides a person, if Allah guides a person, this is from his grace and from his mercy and from his bounty and his favor. If Allah, he guides a person, it's not because of that person. It's not because of the wisdom of that person or the cleverness of that person, nor the effort of that person. This is the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the favor and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, he guides whom he wills. And if he wants to guide somebody, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will make it easy for that person to find the way. He will make it easy, and he will set up the affairs for him, for the guidance to come to him in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. But likewise, if Allah does not guide someone and he leaves them to misguidance, this is based upon his justice and his wisdom and ultimate knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, he does not oppress anybody. So he guides whom he wills with his grace and his mercy, and he leaves to misguidance and to be in error. And he does not guide others because of his justice and his wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is any of the creed and the belief of Ahl-Sunnah, of Ahl-Sunnah. So we see that Al-Fudayl, in any case, he moved to Mecca, and this is the place for his repentance, and he lived there. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. It's mentioned about him, and the scholars of hadith from them, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi. We've seen that's one of his students. Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, he died in the year 198. Likewise, he's from the best of the scholars of hadith, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi. And likewise, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, and also Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. All of them, they died in the same year, 198. And here, the mentioning, all three of them are from the students of Fudayl. Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, he says, Fudayl rajulun sarih, walam yakun bihafidh. Yani, that he was a righteous man, but he wasn't the best, yani, in memorization. Others, they mention about him, kana kufiyan thiqatan muta'abbid, that he was, yani, from Kufa. Likewise, it's known that he traveled also to Kufa to seek knowledge, yani, whenever he was seeking knowledge, and he was thiqah. Whenever we read in the books of hadith about the narrators, and they use these words like this, kana thiqatan, thiqah, this contains two aspects of an individual. The first aspect is with regards to his adala and with his deen, that this person, he's thiqah, meaning he's reliable in his deen and his creed and in his faith and in his worship, that he is somebody known for piety, and he's not known for wickedness and evil, and he's somebody known for obedience, and he's not known for disobedience. But likewise, whenever the word thiqah is used, it entails another aspect, and that is the memorization. And that is the memorization. The one who has the title thiqah from the narrators of hadith, that means that his deen is good, and likewise his memorization is from the best and is strong. And that means that whenever he narrates that which he narrates, if he narrates on someone that is like him, then the narrations there are authentic. And in any case, he says, رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ سَكَنَ مَكَّةً, that he was a righteous man. And so this is something that was known about him, that he was righteous, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So it's mentioned that he, in his travels, and that he was born in Khurasan, that he came to Al-Kufa, and he studied there, and he learned there, whenever he was older. And after that, he moved to Mecca, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He moved after that to Mecca, and he died there in the year 187. He died there in the year 187. It's mentioned here, it says, كَانَ ثِقَةً نَبِيلًا فَاضِلًا عَابِدًا وَرِيعًا كَثِيرُ الْحَدِيثِ, that he was reliable and trustworthy in his narrations and his memorization. And he was noble and virtuous, and he was a devout worshiper, and he was known for worship, and he was pious. And he's from those people who stayed away from the doubtful affairs. And he narrated a lot of narrations. He narrated a lot of narrations. It's been narrated from Al-Rashid. He mentioned about him, مَا رَأَيْتُ فِي الْعُلَمَا أَهْيَبَ مِنْ مَالِكٍ وَلَا أَوْرَعَ مِنْ الْفُضَيْلِ. That he said that I have not seen from the people of knowledge anybody who has more dignity in hayba, a greater hayba than Al-Imam Malik. And I have never seen anyone who is more pious and righteous and far from the haram than Al-Fudayl. And we see that what is mentioned about him is that he used to be from the criminals, and he used to be misguided. And then after that, he became from the best and from the furthest away from the haram. And again, this is from the favor of Allah. But if anybody is tried with the likes of these affairs, he should strive against his soul. Strive against his soul and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg him to guide him, and Allah will free him from his desires whenever he frees his heart, yani from the dunya. Yani the one who attaches himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere faith and love and hope and trust and reliance and repentance, and he strives against his soul, Allah azza wa jal, he will make the way for him, and he will open up the means of guidance for him. And this is for those who are sincere. Likewise, it's been mentioned by Ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala. Also, he's from the best of the narrators. And he also from the students of al-Fudayl. And he, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, he died in the year 181. He said, إِنَّ فُضَيْلْ ibn Iyad صَدَقَ اللَّهِ فَأَجْرَ الْحِكْمَةَ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ فَالْفُضَيْلُ مِمَّا نَفَعَهُ عِلْمُهُ. He said that Fudayl, he was truthful with Allah. Fudayl, he was truthful with Allah. So Allah, he ran wisdom. He caused wisdom to come from his tongue. He caused wisdom to come from his tongue. And Fudayl, he was from those people who their knowledge benefited them. He is from those people who their knowledge benefited them. And this is a great statement, to have knowledge that is beneficial and then to have that knowledge benefit you. This is the goal of a believer, that he will learn the beneficial knowledge, but that knowledge will truly not be beneficial until it is applied, and then it will become a proof for a person. And if not, even if it was the best of knowledge, if one did not apply it, it is nothing but a proof against an individual. So Al-Fudayl, he was truthful with Allah. And from being truthful with Allah, meaning that a person, he will benefit from his knowledge, meaning he will apply it, meaning he will apply it. So it's not necessarily important to see how much knowledge a person has, but how well do they apply the knowledge that they have. A person who has lots of knowledge and memorized the Quran and memorized the hadith and narrations and the likes like this, but it's not seen in his manners, nor in his conduct, or his actions, or his speech, then that knowledge is not beneficial for him. Rather, it's a proof against him, and this individual is blameworthy. And the one who has not memorized all of the Quran or a lot of narrations, but he has the understanding and he has the manners of a believer, and he strives to be upright and apply the knowledge that he does know, even if he was weak in his memorization, he has a high rank with Allah Azza wa Jal and a high status. So a believer, he will strive to be like this. And he from those whom they benefited from their knowledge. They learn knowledge that is beneficial and they apply it. It's been mentioned about Fudayl that one of them would say, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي صَدْرِهِ أَظَمَ مِنَ الْفُضَيْلِ. He said, I never seen anybody that Allah was greater in their heart than Fudayl. And he meaning for magnification, and meaning from reverence and love and respect. And somebody may say, how could they know what is in the heart of Fudayl? And that Allah, he is great in his heart. Because if something is great in the heart of a person, that will be displayed on his tongue, and it will be displayed in his actions. And that which is beloved to a person, he can't help but speak about that. And he can't help but talk about that. And likewise, he can't help but follow that and be upon that. So if a person, he truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal, and he has the veneration and respect and honor for Allah in his heart, then he will speak about him often, and he will remember him often. And likewise, from the greatest signs of sincere reverence and ta'zim and honor and respect for Allah in the heart of a person is that one honors the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that one honors the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal. من تعظيم الله عز وجل تعظيم أوامره ونواهيه سبحانه وتعالى. This is true veneration and true love and honor and respect. To show veneration and love for Allah is to love His commandments and to love His deen and to know His prohibitions and to honor that, and that this will be great in the heart of a person. And so a believer, this can be displayed from him, and then will be known to the people that know about this person, that verily he loves Allah, and is seen in his life, and is seen in his speech, and is seen in his actions. He said, كَانَ إِذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ أَوْ ذُكِرَ عِنْدَهُ أَوْ سَمِيَ الْقُرْآنَ ظَهَرَ بِهِ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْحُزْنِ وَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ وَبَكَى حَتَّى يَرْحَمُهُ مَنْ يَحْضُرُهُ وَكَانَ دَائِمَ الْحُزْنِ شَدِيدَ الْفِكْرَةِ ما رأيت رجلا يريد الله بعلمه وعمله وأخذه وعطائه ومنعه وبذله وبغضه وحبه وخصاله كله غيره رحمه الله تعالى. So it's mentioned about him that whenever he would mention Allah Azza wa Jal, or if Allah was mentioned any in his presence, or if he heard the Quran, then it would the fear would be seen in his face. It would be seen in his face, and likewise the humbleness and the humility in his eyes, they would cry. And he would cry until the people around him who were in his presence, they would have mercy on him. And they would have pity on him because of his circumstance. And we'll find that this is the case with many of the Salaf, that they would remember Allah Azza wa Jal, and their eyes would ball up with tears. Or the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be mentioned and they could not hold themselves except cry. And even it was mentioned the same affair about Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, that he would narrate about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would cry until the people around him would have pity on him and have mercy on him. And then he would say, if you think that I'm strange, verily if you had met Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, then you would see something amazing. Meaning that was from his greatest sheikh, yani Imam Malik. And it's mentioned about him that he was the same way. And this is what he learned from his mashaykh, that they sincerely loved Allah Azza wa Jal, and that that love would enter their heart, and it would be displayed in their presence, and their action, their demeanor. And likewise, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many times they would not be able to hold themselves, and the tears would be seen from them. So this is something that is known. And he is mentioned about him that he also was somebody who used to think and reflect a lot. Shadeed al-fikra. And he's somebody who's pondering and reflecting. And this is from the methodology of a believer. He doesn't go through this life heedlessly. Rather, he looks around at the world around him. He looks at his children. He looks at the food that he eats. He looks at the sky and the night and the day. He looks at the fajr and how it rises in a beautiful way. He looks at the maghrib and the seasons and the trees and the leaves that they fall, and then how they come back to life. And he ponders over these affairs, and he realizes the greatness of his Lord, and he increases in faith. A believer, he's not heedless of the environment around him. Rather, this is from the great manners of a believer, that he reflects upon this life and he thinks about this life based upon what he reads in the Book of Allah. And he sees the connection between al-ayat al-matluwa and al-ayat al-mashhuda, the ayat that are recited in the Book of Allah, and the ayat and the signs that are seen in the creation of Allah. And this is from the greatest means to increase faith, to increase faith and strengthen one's iman. It's mentioned about him, he says, and this has been narrated from Ibrahim ibn al-Ash'ath, and he one of his students, and he narrates a lot on him in this particular work. He says, I never saw a man who intended, and he wanted Allah with his knowledge and his action, or with his giving or prohibiting, or with his hatred or his love, or all of his attributes like Fudayl. And he meaning that he was from those people that it was seen from him that if he gave, he gave for the sake of Allah. And if he prohibited, he prohibited for the sake of Allah. And if he loved somebody, that was for the sake of Allah. And if he detests somebody and turned away from them, that was for the sake of Allah. Meaning he was not a person of desires and a person following his whims. Rather, he was a person who was devoted to his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he loved what Allah loved, and he loved whom Allah loved. And he disliked that which Allah disliked, and he loved for the sake of Allah, and he detested and he hated for the sake of Allah. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the one who does this, he is the one who has completed the faith. So we see that, you know, this is an example of the application of that narration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man ahabba lillahi wa abghada lillah wa a'ta lillah wa mana'a lillah faqad istakmala al-iman. that whoever loves for the sake of Allah, and he hates for the sake of Allah, and he gives for the sake of Allah, and he withholds for the sake of Allah, then this is the one who has completed his faith. Then this is the one who has completed yani his faith. So it's mentioned here that this is yani from his characteristics, that this is from his characteristics. Likewise, they mentioned about him that yani one time they went with him on a funeral prayer, and he would continue the whole time admonishing them and advising them and reminding them and crying yani at this event, yani as if he is the one who's dying, as if he is the one who's bidding farewell, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And it's mentioned about him, about the Safir, خَرَجْنَا مَعُهُ فِي الْجَنَازَةِ لَا يَزَالُ يَعِذُ وَيُذَكِّرُ وَيَبْكِي كَأَنَّهُ مُوَدِّعُ أَصْحَابِهِ كَأَنَّهُ مُوَدِّعُ أَصْحَابِهِ ذَاهِبٌ إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ. As if he is the one who's going to the hereafter. And this is how they thought about him. حَتَّى بَلَغْنَا الْمَقَابِرِ. Until we got to the graveyard. And so he was somebody that would take admonition from these affairs. And he would benefit from the world around him. And if he's seen someone die, then he would remember his own soul, that he could be next, and that he's going to be placed in the grave likewise. And if a person, he thinks it's dark at nighttime, or whenever the lights are off, then wait till he gets in the grave, and the dirt is thrown on top of him. And there's no light whatsoever, except for the light of faith that comes with sincere belief and sincere and noble and righteous actions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put light in the grave of the believers and all of our loved ones who died upon faith and died upon Islam, and to forgive them and to pardon them and to give us all a good ending. But this is something that a believer, he will reflect upon. Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, لَمْ يَتَزَيَّنْ النَّاسْ بِشَيْءٍ أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الصِّدْقِ وَطَالِبِ الْحَلَالِ. He said, rahimahullah, that the people, they have never beautified themselves with anything better. They have never adorned themselves with anything better than honesty, truthfulness, sidq. Yani they have never adorned themselves with anything better than being honest and truthful and seeking halal and wholesome provision. And he faqal ibnuhu Ali, his son Ali, he said to him, Ya abati, in al halal aziz. He said, oh my father, but that halal is few. Yani that which is permissible is few. And this is in the time of Fudayl, rahimahullah ta'ala. So somebody may say, and he compared and to what we live in now, that the haram is a lot and the halal is few. But Fudayl, he says, Ya bunayya, wa inna qalilahu inda Allahi kathir. He said, but oh my beloved son, a little bit of halal with Allah is a lot, meaning a great reward and a great yani benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a believer, yani he will suffice with that which is halal, and he will adorn himself with that which is permissible, and he will be honest and truthful in his dealings with his Lord first and foremost, and then after that likewise with the people. After that likewise with the people. Al-Fudayl, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, من خاف الله لم يضره أحد ومن خاف غير الله لم ينفعه أحد. He mentioned, rahimahullah, that whoever fears Allah truly, then no one can harm him. Then no one can harm him. And whoever fears other than Allah, then no one can benefit him. Then no one can benefit him. And this is the truth. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned this affair, that whoever fears Allah, then everything will fear him. Then everything will fear him. But whoever fears other than Allah, then he will be afraid of everything. And even to the extent that he will even fear his own shadow. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. It's mentioned here that one of them, they asked at Fudayl, rahimahullah ta'ala, they say, Ya Aba Ali, mal khalas mimma nahnu fihi? Mal khalas mimma nahnu fihi? Ya Aba Ali, what is the way out? Al khalas yani al najat. What is the way out and the means of savior and success for that which we are involved in, yani in this life? And the trials of this life, what does that mean? What is the way out for this? And he says, قَالَ أَخْبِرْنِي, and tell me, Fudayl, he said to him, tell me, مَنَ طَاءَ اللَّهَ هَلْ تَضُرُّهُ مَعْسِيَةُ أَحَدٍ. He said, tell me, whoever obeys Allah, will the disobedience of somebody else harm him? Whoever obeys Allah himself, if somebody else disobeys Allah, will that harm him? So he said, قَالَ لَا, he said, no. He said, قَالَ فَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ هَلْ تَنْفَعُهُ طَاعَةُ أَحَدٍ. the one who disobeys Allah, will the obedience of somebody else benefit him? So he says, no. So at this time, Fudail, he says, هو الخلاص إذا أردت الخلاص. This is the success and the najat, yani the way out and the means of safety and savior if you want savior. And he said, no, that no one can help you but yourself. That you came into this life alone, and you will come out of this life alone, and you'll be resurrected, and your Lord will speak with you alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجُمَانِ. That there's not one of you except for his Lord is going to speak to him, and there will be no translator between the two of you. And there will be no translator between the two of you. So regardless who an individual is, or the status of his family or his loved ones, if he does not believe and take a path to Allah Azza wa Jal, then they will not be able to benefit him. Then they will not be able to benefit him. And likewise, if a person is righteous and he's upright himself and he believes, those who are wicked and evil, they will not be able to harm him. So therefore, a believer, he will busy himself with himself. He will busy himself with himself, with his soul, trying to rectify his situation between him and his Lord first and foremost. Because there will come a day that no one will benefit a person. The only thing that will benefit him is his heart and his deeds, and his situation with his Lord and his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to realize this and to know this, to not be busy with the people, rather to busy oneself with oneself and with one's own soul in rectification and the life like this. And then after that, helping one's loved ones and family in this manner, this is the means of savior and safety and success. How many people today, they're busy with the rest of the people, finding their faults and spreading their mistakes and their errors. But they themselves, if they had looked into their own reality, they will find that they're from the worst of the people and from the furthest away from the obedience and the piety and righteousness. So this is a beautiful advice, that no one can help a person, nor can anyone harm him, whether he's alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he struck an example like this. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبَدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحَيْنِ فَخَانَتَاهُمَا فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَقِيلَ ادْخُلَا النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he struck the example of those who disbelieve. The wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut. And they were both of them under the care of two righteous slaves. Rather, they were prophets. But they betrayed them. And they disbelieved. And they did not believe. So therefore, they did not benefit them whatsoever. Meaning those two noble prophets did not benefit their own family members whatsoever. Whenever they disbelieved. And it was said to them, enter the hellfire. Enter the hellfire with those who enter in disgrace. And this is because of their disbelief. So even if a prophet, he's not able to help his own family, if they did not believe, then how about the rest of mankind and the rest of the people? وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Whenever, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he struck another example of those who believe. And that was the wife of Fir'aun. And that was the wife of Fir'aun. Whenever she called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Fir'aun, he's the worst of mankind. And he's the one who considered himself and called himself an ilah and a god. And considered himself yani the Rabb, waliyadu billah. But his wife was righteous and she was a believer. And therefore he didn't harm her whatsoever. And she's from the people of paradise. She's from the people of paradise. Rahimahallahu ta'ala. So therefore this is the case here. Yani, and the meaning of this narration. That someone who disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal, the piety and righteousness of somebody else will not benefit him. And if somebody is obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, the disobedience of others will not harm him. The disobedience of others will not harm him. It's been mentioned about Fudail. He said, رَهْبَةُ الْعَبْدِ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَلَى قَدْرِ عِلْمِهِ بِاللَّهِ وَزَهَادَتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَلَى قَدْرِ رَغْبَتِهِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the fear of a person for Allah is according to his knowledge of Allah. The amount of fear one has for Allah is according to the knowledge that he has of Allah. And if the more knowledge one has of Allah truly and his tawheed and his authority and his command, the more he will fear him. The more he will fear him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to how and his abstinence in this life, meaning his obedience and the fact that he stays away from that which is impermissible and he fulfills the rights of Allah azza wa jalla in this life, is according to how much he desires the hereafter. Is according to how much he desires the hereafter. The more a person he desires the hereafter and the good home with Allah Azza wa Jal, the more he will strive to be obedient, and the more of this life he will leave off and he will turn away from, and he will concern himself with that which is beneficial for his hereafter. And anything that could harm his hereafter, he will stay away from that and he would avoid that. Or anything that could delay him or deter him from his goal, meaning the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, he would leave that and he will avoid that. So this is according to how much knowledge he has of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise how much desire and yearn he has for the home in the hereafter. After this, Al-Fudayl, he mentioned, وَمَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ اسْتَغْنَى عَمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُ وَمَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ لِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ. He mentioned, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, that whoever apply the knowledge that he has, then he will be sufficed from the knowledge he does not have. Whoever applies the knowledge that he has, then he will be sufficed from the knowledge that he does not have. And whoever applies the knowledge that he has truly, then he will be given success to learn the knowledge that he did not have. He will be given success to learn the knowledge that he did not have. Yani, so, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. So the one who fears Allah, Allah, he will grant him success. And he mentioned, مَنْ سَأَ خُلُقُهُ شَانَ دِينَهُ وَحَسَبُهُ وَمُرُؤَتَهُ. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.